This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to DC. I'm Adam Epstein at The One Sports Nerd on Twitter. And you can tweet me your thoughts throughout the show if you want them read on the air. But joining me right now on the hotline is my guy, Travis Thomas. Travis, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Adam, I got to start right here, man. As part of the governing body of the AWOD Army, in all seriousness, we lost a soldier in the AWOD Army a few days ago, man. And I just want to give you my condolences and obviously the condolences to his family as well, man. You've been in my thoughts and prayers the past few days, so it's good to talk to you today.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate that. And Rishi Sharma is who he's talking about, one of my buddies from Arlington. And I think the biggest thing that I kept thinking about was that he loved calling into my show. Like one time we were together on New Year's and he said, Adam, I've been wanting to call into your show for months, but I feel like it's weird because I'm your friend. I'm like, I don't care. I need callers. And I just tweeted, callers are like coffee. You can never have too much of them, bro. We need the callers to keep the radio going. So I appreciate that, Travis. And let's get to the NFL pick'ems here. I know we're both huge, huge football fans. And so I just want to start out by saying Thursday night, Fitzmagic. I mean, I got that game completely wrong. I thought Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars were the better team, but now I'm growing out my beard just like Fitzmagic, bro.
Well, that'll work for you. If I grow out my beard, I'll look like Rick Ross, so I'll take a pass on that. Look, it was bittersweet for me because I actually had the Dolphins money line that night. Mm-hmm. Real quick, my theory on that is when two bad teams play, take a chance on the underdog, all right? So that theory came through for me on that night. But I say it's bitter because I'm a huge Tua fan, and I'm just waiting for him to get a chance because I think he's going to be an absolute superstar in this league. But as long as your boy Fitzmagic keeps balling like that, he's going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. So let's go through the 1 o'clock games. I was telling my audience my favorite thing to do now is to parlay a three-team parlay, just money line to win. On the 1 o'clock, I do a three-team for 4 o'clock, and then I parlay my two primetime winners, and I try to make the big bucks here. So let's start with 49ers versus Giants. The 49ers are going to be playing their backup quarterback, but the Giants also kind of suck here. I think this is going to be a defensive battle, and I like the 49ers.
Well, keep this game out of your parlay.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This game's awful. Who knows who the hell's going to win? And I told you, two teams that are awful take the underdog, but the 49ers on the roster are fantastic. They just have a ton of injuries. So who knows? The Giants could absolutely win this game because you don't know what you're going to get from this hobbled 49er team. I'll take the Niners, though, just top to bottom, even with the injuries. I think their roster's still better, but I would keep it off your parlay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This next matchup, we'll come back to the Washington versus Browns, but this next matchup here is in my parlay, so I'm going to hold to give you my pick to see if we're on the same page. That's Bengals versus Eagles. Who you got?
Oof, I'll go Eagles. I love what I've seen from Joe Burrow, but I just don't believe Carson Wentz is as bad as that 0-2 record and that offensive line is. I'll go Eagles, and really, quite frankly, a must-win at home.
Yeah, we're on the same page there. I think it's a must-win. I don't see the Eagles starting 0-3, so I got the Eagles. Let's go to Raiders versus Patriots. I'm riding with the Raiders. They showed me something. Even though I didn't stay up to fully watch the game, I had to catch the highlights. But I was so shocked to see how good their defense was with shutting down Drew Brees. I got the Raiders. I'm rolling with the Raiders against the Patriots.
I have a futures ticket out on the Raiders, so I'm with you. I thought the first year in Vegas, they would do a great job with no fans. I was a little nervous, but so far so good. And remember, John Gruden basically has a lifetime deal, so he has a lot of real estate. I think they're trending in the right direction. I'm with you. I think the Raiders could be a sneaky wild card team.
All right, this next game is the second matchup in my parlay, so I'll let you go first. That's Bears versus Falcons.
Never, ever, ever bet on the Falcons. However, the only person or thing I believe in less than the Atlanta Falcons is Mitch Trubisky. I'm going Falcons at home to win. I wouldn't put it anywhere near your parlay. You're a brave man, but I'm going Falcons here.
See, the reason it's in my parlay is because we're on the same page. Mitch Trubisky sucks. He's the worst quarterback in the league right now. I've got the Falcons winning that game. Let's move on to Rams versus Bills. I like the Rams here. I like Sean McVay's offense. I think this is going to be a good matchup. I think it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be close, but I'm going to give the Rams the edge.
Well, you know, it's our job to watch the Washington football team, but I got to tell you, I'm going to be cheating over at the 1 o'clock game, Rams-Bills, because I need to see Josh Allen win a big game.
Really?
And I realize it's still September. I get it. But this is a big game. Undefeated teams at home for him at Bills Stadium. So I believe the Rams are a better team, Adam, but I need to see Josh Allen in a big moment, play big, and win a game. Until he does it, I can't bet on him. I'm going Rams as well.
I thought you were going to go Bills there. You were kind of talking it up, but you'll save it for next time. Texans versus Steelers is the next matchup here on the 1 o'clock schedule. I just think the Steelers are too good of a team. And with the Texans, they're just, it's just so many issues with that team. And every week I say they're missing a superstar wide receiver. They're missing a superstar wide receiver. They traded for an old running back. I got the Steelers winning this matchup.
I'm going opposite with you for the first time today. Look, here's the deal. I'm going the same theory I'm going with Philly and Carson Wentz with the Texans. I just don't believe Deshaun Watson can go 0-3 in this league. He's too damn good. I get it. Bill O'Brien stinks. The same way you feel about Mitch Trubisky is how I feel about Bill O'Brien as a coach. He needs to be fired. He should have been ran out of town years ago. But with that being said, the Texans have got to win. They are desperate. They beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
All right. And the third game in my parlay, which means Travis goes first here, is the Titans versus the Vikings. Who you got?
This is going to be a good game as well. And look, I know it's early in the season, and I hate to keep using this desperation theme that I'm doing, but I think the Vikings have to win this game. I mean, it's strange that there's so many must-win situations for these teams, but they're too good to be 0-3. And I just think at home, it is September. It's not December when you need it the most. So Kirk Cousins should show up this week and have a rebound. I think the Vikings win at home.
See, I'm going to go against you here and pick the Titans, and my now makes it Eagles, Falcons, and Titans in my parlay if the audience is listening and wants to make some money as well. I just think that Kirk Cousins has been terrible this season, and I don't see that turning around. I mean, yes, I can understand you picking the Vikings if they get off to a fast start, and then it's Dalvin all day, Dalvin, and they're running the ball down their throat, but the Titans, if they get an early lead, then you're going to get a huge amount of Derrick Henry running all over that Vikings team. And I just think the Titans, yes, the Vikings need to win this game more desperately. But I think the Titans are the better team, and that's who I'm taking. Let's go over to 4 o'clock here. Panthers versus Chargers. I like the Chargers. Herbert showed that he can throw the ball. I mean, over 300 yards in his first game. I think the Panthers have been an interesting team so far this year, but I like the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going Chargers as well. And look, good teams win, great teams cover. This is my cover of the week. I think the Panthers cover that 6.5, and it's all because even though I like Herbert, just like you do, he's going up against a veteran quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Yet another desperate team to get a win. I think the Panthers will be in this game. I like them to cover the number, but I like the Chargers on the money line.
All right, here's my shout-out of the show, 4 o'clock, Jets versus Colts. It's in my parlay, and I'm taking the Colts. I'm riding with my boy Mo Ali Cox, one of my close friends from high school. He went to South County. Then he went to VCU, where I was at also, was a superstar, a center in the Atlantic 10. And he hadn't played football since freshman year in high school. He tries out for the Colts for a few years. I think it was 1 year on the practice squad. Then last year as the third string, Jack Doyle goes down, and Mo is all of a sudden the man. He had 100 yards in his first game as the starting tight end. A huge catch. And you know Philip Rivers loves his tight ends. He had Antonio Gates for all those years. Mo Alie-Cox and the Indianapolis Colts is my pick over the Jets at 405.
I got to give you VCU guys props. You and I talked about how we have a couple mutual friends that we know, and they're all VCU Rams, and you guys watch out for each other. Us Towson Tigers got to get it together. I could see fellow Towson Tigers in the store, and they act like they don't know me. It's unbelievable. I'm going Colts as well. I do think the Jets will cover that number, though. 11.5 is too much for anyone not named the Chiefs or the Ravens in the NFL. The Colts aren't 12 points better than anyone in the league, thanks, but I'll take them to win the game.
At 4:25, we have Lions versus Cardinals, and this is also in my 4 o'clock parlays. Why is that? Because I think Matt Patricia has got to go. He's on the hot seat. Him or Adam Gase should be the first coach fired this season. I think the Cardinals, they've looked hot, and it wasn't just against Washington. It was both games this season. Kyler Murray is speedy. He's getting to the outside, and he's, you know what he's doing? Is he's running the ball when he can't pass it on third and short. When nobody's open, he's running that ball and he's getting the first down. And my goodness, did Larry Fitzgerald destroy our slot corners. I mean, it didn't matter if we were playing zone or man. He was just sitting in that open hole, catching every single ball and getting the ball upfield. Every third and five, it seemed like either was Kyler Murray running or Fitzgerald catching and jumping for the first down. I'm rolling with the Cardinals again against the Lions.
I'm going with the Cardinals as well, and you pretty much covered it from an Arizona standpoint. Let me take a minute to talk about the poo-butt Lions for a second. What's strange is if Patricia was actually a good coach, what's his specialty? It's defense. So look at them on paper. They have Adrian Peterson, who we know can control the time of possession in a game. Kerryon Johnson's a good back as well. So you have two good running backs, and you have Matthew Stafford, who if you ask him to be a game manager – he would be spectacular. And all they would need is the defense to play well, and that's a formula for success, especially in that division with all those good quarterbacks. Instead, you have a mess on defense and an offense that has no identity at all. He needs to be fired. The Lions roster is not that far off. They need a coach that can chew gum and walk at the same time, and they'll be fine.
I love your hate for him. Buccaneers versus Broncos, 4:25. That's on my parlay. Who you got?
Man, you have some weird guys. We got to sit down and go through these parlays. You pick the most random games. I'll take Tommy in Tampa over the Broncos. I had a lot of hype for this game before Drew Locke got hurt because I felt like he's a young lion in this league, and him going against Brady would have been exciting, but he's out. So I think the Broncos get smoked.
Yeah, that's why it's in my parlay, Travis, because I think the Broncos get smoked, man. All right, let's go to the primetime matchups. Sunday night, Packers versus... First off, both the primetime matchups, because we had a pooper Thursday night, but then Sunday night and Monday night, we've got great games, so it's going to be awesome to watch. Packers versus Saints. I like the Packers. Drew Brees just didn't really get it done last week, and he looked like an old quarterback. And I always say this, when Drew Brees is good, you never notice how small he is. When he's bad, he looks like a child out there standing on his tippy toes trying to peek over the offensive line, and he can't see anything. So I'm going with the Packers on Sunday night.
Well, you're still young, but you'll see as you get older, you definitely shrink. So what you're seeing there is age playing right in front of your eyes. I've been 6'3 pretty much since eighth grade, and I feel like I'm getting shorter by the day, and I'm growing outward and not taller also. I'll take the Saints for no other reason than these are both two really good teams, and I just think the Saints need it more, and they're at home. I think they'll bounce back, so I'll take the Saints, but I can't be mad at you for the Packers. It's a coin flip game, and quite frankly, it could come down to a final possession.
Yep, and then Chiefs versus Ravens, bet the over. I don't care if the over is 80. I think it's still going over. I'm telling you, I think it's going to be like 55-49 or something like that. And I've got the Ravens. And we heard it from Ryan Clark on I Don't Give a Damn with ESPN's The Undefeated. The Ravens are built to win regular season football games. That offense, they've got J.K. Dobbins in there now. They can run all over you. Lamar will scramble anytime he's in trouble. Their defense is good, but that offense just puts up so many points. Mark Andrews, I think Lamar Jackson said he's a wide receiver playing the tight end position, and he's excellent. I've got the Ravens over the Chiefs.
Yeah, I've got the Ravens over the Chiefs as well. I do think it'll be high scoring. I don't necessarily think it'll be as close as most people. I think the Ravens will beat them convincingly. Now, what does that look like for the Chiefs? You know, a convincing win against the Chiefs could be 6-7 points, maybe a little bit more, maybe 8 or 9. But to me, I'll say this. What I saw last week in the Chiefs-Chargers game is what concerns me. They did not play well. The Chargers had a chance to win that game, and the Chargers' defense was presenting a lot of problems for Mahomes and company. I think the Ravens has – look, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed ain't walking through that door, but they do have an opportunistic defense. They create a lot of turnovers. I think the Ravens will get a couple turnovers on Mahomes. That'll be the difference. No one can slow down Lamar Jackson right now. Ravens win this game, but Chiefs, when it counts in January – we'll be there again.
Yeah, totally agree. Travis, you're my guy. I really appreciate you calling into the show. We're running out of time here, so real quick, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here. Give me 60 seconds. Who's going to win Washington versus the Browns and why?
This is Dwayne Haskins' week. He needs to step up. He can do it against a Browns team that gave up a gazillion yards to Joe Burrow. Dwayne Haskins finally shuts up all the haters, not only in this league but in this city. I'm taking Dwayne Haskins to have a big game, Washington football team to win.
That's Travis Thomas. You can follow him on Twitter at Travis Thomas EXP. The Travis Thomas Experience. My guy, thanks for calling in, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Same to you, brother.
Yep. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Going to the phone lines next here on The Fan. Jake tweets me at @skins_hokey. I know you're moving on from the junkies, but will you still be gracing us with these sweet Saturday shows? I hope so, man. I hope to be on every Saturday. Hope to be with my boy Sean producing. Also my boy Darius, great producer. Nothing against, like, either of you guys producing the show, and I'm happy. You know what I mean, Sean? Like, you keep it rolling, and damn, you are good with these intro songs, because every time we go to break, it's like I run out of energy. I'm like, I need more coffee. I need some water. But then you come back with something hype, and now I'm hype again for Washington versus Cleveland Sunday, 1 p.m. I did so many shows over the summer talking about, I don't know if the NFL is going to come back. Is COVID going to ruin us? I talked about basketball 3 weeks straight, and I love basketball, but the NFL is king. And that's what the phone lines are for, 1-800-636-1067. I want to hear from anyone out there that's part of the AWOD Army. And I'm talking about Scott Turner and Dwayne Haskins' development and the entire Washington football team offense. And my thing with Dwayne is I think he needs to hit the running backs more and with more oomph. And what I mean by that is if you're going to be the check down Charlie, hit him with accuracy and quickness. Tom Brady loves the checkdowns, but when he hits the running back, he hits it at the exact time his route is breaking away from the linebacker. Same with all the other good QBs in the league. An obvious trait of a good QB, in my opinion, is the ability to hit the running back out of the backfield 10 times out of 10 and lead him or hit him with stride so that a simple one-yard gain can be turned into a 5 or 10. We have speed with Antonio Gibson, so Dwayne needs to do a better job of staying on his feet and delivering it with accuracy to Antonio Gibson so that these short throws can turn into long gains. Dwayne, I'm here for you. I'm rooting for you. And I want to see you exceed, but my last advice is to slide more. Get down. Get out of bounds. I feel like he's taken too many big hits already. In just 2 games, we need you for 16 games. You need at least 8 more to even get a full feel for the NFL and the NFL football. So don't get hurt. And still scramble and be confident, but run and pick your spots. You tried to truck a middle linebacker from the 5-yard line, dude. That's the same play that Carson Wentz tried and blew out his knee and now probably ruined his career. So, Dwayne, I love you scrambling and showing off that the baby fat is gone and you got an extra step in your stride, but be careful. Be careful. I mean, especially around that goal line. That's where the big boys come to play. But typically with what I've seen from Scott Turner's offense and why I've liked it, even though we haven't scored enough points, is that I feel like the play calling is there. There's been a few times where, especially when you look at the film, Terry McLaurin has someone burnt deep. Or Steven Sims has his man beat wide open in the middle, and he has a chance to run for an extra 15 yards. But Dwayne hasn't been able to execute. So that's my thoughts on the Scott Turner offense so far. 1-800-636-1067. The phone lines are lighting up. Let's get to them. Let's go to Brian in D.C. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Adam, what's up?
What's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I heard your first segment, and I couldn't call until now. I just don't know how we can have any real positive takeaways from Scott Turner's offense so far these first 2 years. I mean, the guy just seems out of his league. You know, both games, slow starts, three and outs to start the game. I put that on him. You got to put Haskins in the right situation. And I don't feel like we're getting the ball out of his hands quick enough. Then all of a sudden we're down 17. Now we're going spread offense. Now we're up tempo. Now we're hitting Terry McLaurin for, you know, 5 to 10 yard in routes, and we're moving the ball. We're getting Sims and Terry involved. I just think the first half of both games, it's just taking forever for plays to develop. And then we know from Pro Football Talk, or no, from Pro Football Focus, that Dwayne has no time. I mean, last week he had the least amount of time out of any quarterback in the league to throw the ball. And I just think, you know, I think you're dead on just in your last segment that we have to be able to hit the running backs better. All we did all offseason was hear about, you know, we're going to use these two back sets and McKissick and Gibson. They're going to be threats. And we just really haven't gotten them involved. And I kind of put that on Scott Turner.
See, here's where I would argue that it's not Scott Turner's fault, is that the best teams in this league are able to get their running game going early and often, and then again in the second half, they've got you worn down because they've already developed their running back. And that's what we've tried to do. I think both games, the first two plays, have been runs to Antonio Gibson. And it just hasn't worked with our O-line. And so I think it's more about the execution than it is the play calling, because getting Antonio Gibson going early will definitely set up McLaurin going deep with the play action. So I could argue with you and agree that, yeah, maybe we need to take a shot on the first play instead of trying to run the ball. But I don't think Scott Turner's, like you said, out of his league here, because every good offensive coordinator in the league tries to get the run going first. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I think that the biggest issue here is just not force-feeding Terry McLaurin early and often. The second half last week, he balled out. You get him the ball, he's got moves, he's got speed, and he even tries to run people over. Like, I just don't, you know, there's some things that I worry about when I watch him catch a football. It's all, his hands are always down, but he catches it, so I'm not going to complain. I just think that this guy is a rare talent. He can do it all, and there's no reason that he's only getting going until the second half. How many times is Logan Thomas... Logan Thomas is getting the same amount of targets as Terry McLaurin.
Right, that's a problem.
That's on the offensive coordinator to me. I don't think that's Haskins. I don't even know that Haskins.
I think that's on Haskins. Here's why. I think that's Haskins' safety net, is that when he feels a little pressure, he can go to the tight end because he thinks he's a big target that's not going to get picked off. And I think Haskins, I said it before, Haskins needs to take more risks. McLaurin is better than a lot of the corners he's going against, and when he's got one-on-one, give him a chance. Haskins hasn't given him a chance, so that's what I would argue, that Scott Turner's putting the offense in a good position. Haskins so far isn't executing well enough.
Yeah, I don't think I can agree. I mean, Scott Turner hasn't shown it to me yet. I mean, Coach Rivera is constantly like, yeah, it's going to take the offense some time, it's going to take him some time, and that's fine and all, but we're playing right now. Like, I know, you know, this is kind of a preseason year for us and this team, but there's games going on right now. And I thought that Cardinals game, you know, that sack fumble, you know, in the red zone after
destroyed
the interception,
us. It
was terrible. And I that's just another play where it's like, could we have just handed the ball off three times and seen what happened? Just kick a field goal, get points, and get out of there. You know, instead, again, we leave Haskins vulnerable in the backfield for a sack, and that's just, it's got to stop. You know, it's got to stop. I mean, this. What do you think? Before I go, tell me, Antonio Gibson, he can't be what you expected him to be so far. You know, we all thought we were going to get this kind of gadget guy. He looks like a every down running back right now. You know, he doesn't really show a burst of speed. He hasn't caught a ball in the slot. Like, what do you think of Antonio Gibson?
He looks like, to me, looks like a young running back who is yet to get his NFL IQ to where it needs to be. Like he's not reading the holes. He's super quick, but then he's cutting too quick and falling. Like legit, I think two plays last game, he tried to fake someone out and faked himself out and just went down. You know, so I would say that they obviously hoped for a lot more from him. That's why I said earlier in the show, I want J.D. McKissic to get more carries early in the game because he showed that he can at least read the holes and get to the right spot on the field. But Gibson, I still think he's going to break out in a few games. I do.
Yeah, I'm not so sold on that. I just think we were kind of sold this, like, kind of can do it all player. And yes, of course he's young, so this is obviously overanalyzing in the first two games, but I'm just a little bit concerned that, you know, we drafted a running back. You know, we didn't draft a guy who could, you know, come in and be a game changer, and we'll see. You know, I'm not sure, but I'm just kind of questioning Scott Turner's use of him so far. I mean, you know, it was like all preseason we're hearing about, like, oh, we're hiding him, or we don't want people to see how we're going to use him. But
right.
Nothing so far has suggested that, like, he's some weapon. Yeah, he had a nice touchdown run, and he's shown some good plays, but I'm not seeing the secret weapon that we have. And if he does need to be unleashed, like, it would be nice if it was now. I mean, Browns have some injuries. You know, we need to – I want to, like – you know, just compete to be around 500. You win six games, but you lose two close ones. Okay, cool. I can live with that. But we have a tough schedule coming up.
We totally do.
With like
we totally
Ravens
do.
And so I just, we got to get wins when we can.
Yep. And this was a huge one against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're the Browns. They have to stink. You look like a Brown. You smell like a Brown. You're a Brown. I'm Adam Epstein here till 12 noon on The Fan. Thanks to Travis Thomas for chiming in on the show earlier. And at 11 o'clock, I'll bring in my guy, Logan Paulson. Logan, one of my favorite. I have like an obsession with Washington football team tight ends. Growing up, I was the biggest Cooley fan. If you listen to me on the Junkies, you know that I'm boys with Fred Davis. That's my guy. Before COVID, we were hitting the bars together. And now Logan Paulson's my go-to guy when I need a former player to talk about the Washington football team. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What are your thoughts on the game tomorrow? What are your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins and the offense as a whole? Let's go to Alex in Ashburn. Alex, you're on The Fan.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What does the Adam Epstein Show and the Ringling Brothers have in common?
What's that?
Greatest show on earth. I look forward to it every Saturday morning.
But my guy. Thanks for calling, dude.
Anyway, yeah, no problem. But listen, I'm actually getting tired of the Ron Rivera thing. Especially first when they cut Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Then when with 4.5 minutes to go, they got, what, 3 timeouts left. Rivera throws the white flag. I say he gets back on the steamboat, goes back to Charlotte, goes work for NASCAR this time. He can throw all the white flags he wants. If he's only going to play for 55 minutes a game, then we only need to pay him about 85% of his salary, and then 5 minutes to go, he can get ready for his plane. That's my take. I'll see you later.
Hey, Alex, thanks for. Are you still there? Oh, yeah, he hung up. He wanted to get that off his chest. And look, here's the thing, is that he's not alone. A lot of people questioned Ron Rivera's decision with Adrian Peterson. And looking at it right now, we could use a number one back. He's played well with the Lions. So, I mean, and what has Peyton Barber done? He got a couple touchdowns from the 1 yard line. Good for him, right? But Peyton Barber probably could have gotten cut, and Adrian Peterson should be still on the team. So, Alex, we're on the same page there. With the timeout situation at the end of that game, and then a lot of people were upset that Rivera kicked a field goal when they were down 3 possessions instead of going for the touchdown, okay? He addressed that on J.P. Finley's podcast, Washington Football Talk, and he got heated about it because a lot of people were questioning his decision, and he kept saying, I'm the coach, it's my decision. And here were his thoughts. His thoughts were that he needed to get points on the board for team morale. And while you can say that's a losing attitude, you can also understand that this is his first year in the Ron Rivera era, and he desperately needs to change the culture. And how do you change the culture? By not losing 27-0, because that ruins and demoralizes a team. So he got points on the board, and then you know what? They scored a few more times in the game as well. So it worked out in the sense that he got some momentum. Now, you have to have that momentum carry over to Cleveland. If we have a terrible first half and we lose to Cleveland, then I'm going to be pissed at you, Ron Rivera. Yes, rightfully so. But I understand where he's coming from, and his thoughts were this. It was especially with the timeouts at the end of the game. They had just lost Brandon Scherff, and he didn't want. He even said, what if I call those timeouts and then Morgan Moses blows out his knee in a game that's probably already over? So he's coaching this season, in his first season. Every game is not win or you're fired in his mind. It's every game is play your best, try to put your team in the best position to win, and at the end of the game, in his mind, if the game's out of reach, then maybe it's okay to pack it up and look forward to next week without demoralizing your team and getting destroyed. That's Ron Rivera's take. That's not my take. That's his take. You know what I mean? So that's just I think, kind of where the fanhood stands on this whole Ron Rivera thing, is that a lot of people were upset because of the way he's done this thing, but you cannot say that you were pissed at the game, the way he ended that Arizona game, and then not also be extremely happy with the way he ended the Eagles game. There was a fourth down, and it wasn't even fourth and goal, like I said earlier. It was fourth and one from, like, the five. And I'd say the past five coaches here in Washington kick that field goal and lose the game. I mean, seriously, debate me on that. Debate me on that. Jay Gruden kicks a field goal because Jay Gruden was a wuss, and he loses that game because Carson Wentz goes down against his terrible Joe Barry defense or Greg Minuski at defense, and we lose that game. Ron Rivera played game one to win, and he won it. And in game two, the team was down 20-0 at halftime and then gave up an opening drive touchdown in the third quarter. That game was over. So he didn't coach it to win. So what? The game was already over. Caller's got me fired up, and now I want to hear from more of you. 1-800-636-1067. I'm Adam Epstein on The Fan. On Twitter, Aaron chimes in that he's listening. I think we want you to mix it up, Sean. Not always hip-hop after the breaks, all right? I like the hip-hop, but maybe our audience wants us to mix it up. Maybe you could do a little Enter Sandman like the Junks or something like that. But great job producing the show, as always. And you can tweet me at TheOneSportsNerd, or you can chime in at 1-800-636-1067. The phone lines are always open here on The Adam Epstein Show, AWOD Weekend Radio. And real quick, I want to talk about this whole Twitter topic that everyone, the slander of Dwayne Haskins and the asking for Dwayne to be taken out and the asking for the backup. And look, he's just a few games into his NFL career. So at what point does he need to change his style? At what point do you really need to consider taking him out? I would say 12 games. But for the first 12 games of his career, let Dwayne get the full package. Let him fully understand and grasp what it means to be an NFL quarterback. He hasn't played enough high-level football yet for his football IQ to be where it needs to be. And that's not really a knock on him. He doesn't have the maturity yet of a Russell Wilson, whose NFL IQ is through the roof. Why? Because he played high-level college football for two college football teams. And then in Seattle, with Pete Carroll, it was the right system at the right time. So I really think once Dwayne learns the little things that the vet QBs understand, he will move the sticks much better, create longer drives for his offense to get in a position to score more points. There's always going to be chatter from the media. Every week. That's just what DC media is. We're one of the top markets. And if you're losing, there's going to be something to talk about. And they're always going to say, oh, 2021, Washington football team may be looking for a new starting quarterback. F that. That's BS. Dwayne, don't think about that. Go out and play to your best of your ability. And if the team is 6-10 this year, but Dwayne Haskins went out and won six of those games by either throwing for 220, 250 yards and no turnovers, or leading them on a fourth quarter game-winning drive like he did versus the Eagles, then that's all I need to see from him until next season. I need to see Dwayne win a few games with his arm. He really hasn't done that much in his short career. But again, it's been a very short career. And that comes with a lot of fast starts. That's how he's going to get moving. That's how he's going to have these 200-plus yard games. He's got to get off to a fast start. And that's one of my keys for the Washington football team against the Cleveland Browns. What have I liked from Dwayne so far? He's absolutely more athletic this season. And he has the ability to be bad on one drive and bounce back and lead the team to score on the next. He's been a leader in the locker room. I thought all those stories and reports about what Dwayne said at halftime in week one were incredible. We need more of that. Give me that times 1,000. This is your team. Make them believe in you. And the third thing is he's limited the turnovers. Yes, the fumbles have killed us. But that, I think, is more on the O-line not giving him enough time. I mean, the one fumble in the Cardinals game that cost us the game in the red zone, Brandon Scherff was out there looking like a high school player. It was terrible. So, yes, make them believe in you. Limit the turnovers. You've thrown directly into the opposing team's hand twice so far this season, but you haven't thrown a pick. So you've been lucky so far, Dwayne, but you can totally improve. I'm Adam Epstein. Joining me next on The Fan is my guy Logan Paulson, former tight end for the Skins a few years ago. He's going to be joining me next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.